You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2024, and I am MP Holmes. The weather last winter in Waterloo Region was mild and unstable, just as predicted. And this variable weather is expected to continue into a hot, dry summer with potential repercussions on our community. Dr. Annabella Bonata, a research associate and manager of the Intact Center for Climate Adaptation at the University of Waterloo, explains.
So more than a really hot summer, I would say dry for this region. So where the drought isn't dissipating anytime soon. We might get like a snow event, but that doesn't mean it's enough to make us get through like a drought season. And Environment and Climate Change Canada did release their projections. And up until the end of summer, it is expected to be warmer than normal. We'll just have to wait and see if that means like very extreme heat days or just like a warmer than normal climate. It could mean more rain. So it's hard to know in the shorter term. But for me personally, from everything I've seen the past few years, everything I've studied and I've learned, I would be preparing for a hot summer.
According to the University of Waterloo Weather Station, 2023 was the hottest year in the last 100 years in Waterloo Region. Scientists attribute 2023's weather and the mild winter we just experienced in part to El Niño conditions, which have been disrupting global weather patterns. In El Niño conditions, winds in the South Pacific Ocean aren't strong enough to move warm surface waters west across the ocean towards Asia, and that prevents the cooler air from deeper in the ocean from circulating. This then impacts global weather patterns, and in southern Ontario, it means milder and less snowy winters. The University of Waterloo Weather Station reported that the winter snowfall amount as of the end of March was at less than half of the average of a typical season. Milder temperatures are causing other concerns as well. The U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported that in 2023-24, the ice cover on the Great Lakes reached a record low of less than 3% ice cover basin-wide. There have been several significant rainfalls this spring, but so far, and despite flood warnings throughout April, 2024 has thankfully not brought devastating floods seen in previous years. Dr. Bonata explains the dynamics between El Niño and climate change in our region.
El Niño, what it causes is warming in the Pacific Ocean. But this year we have extreme warming in the Atlantic Ocean. And that just does not relate to El Niño in any way. But that warming in the Atlantic is leading to warming in the surrounding areas and more moisture in the air. And that's just due to climate change. And different El Niño effect events could have had an effect, but it wouldn't have been as large as when it's compounded with climate change. And there are lots of studies out there and being done and scientists saying this is worse due to climate change. So we're seeing a winter like this, but last winter was an El Niño and we had our worst wildfire season on record due to a drier, warmer than normal winter. So I don't think people should rely on thinking this is just a one-off. They occur every 2 to 7 years.
Dr. Bonata explains the problem with the lack of ice on the Great Lakes.
It's concerning because some aquatic ecosystems that are used to that sea ice need it every winter, and it provides habitat for fish and other organisms. And if we don't have that sea ice that's regulating the temperature over the winter, it could affect some of like the food that some of the fish will feed on. But again, that's a variable one because I have also been hearing you might actually have larger fish that have been able to feed for longer this winter. So in the short term, it could be favorable for people that like to go fishing. But in the longer term, it causes issues with the regulation of the temperature of our waters and like algal blooms, for example, which need feet to grow. And we could see them earlier this year and affecting like some of our beaches, for example, in our smaller lakes.
Dr. Bonata explains some of the impacts of the milder winter on the community, such as the cascade of problems that come from a reduced snowpack.
The communities can be impacted by just having drier conditions, which we haven't thought so much in our region. Like we've been hearing stories about Alberta and what that means for farmers, but it can actually be an issue here as well. We have a lot of production in southern Ontario, but apart from that, just the rivers and lakes that surround us really need that water that melts from the snowpack at the end of the winter. And that's why we always talk about flood season in the spring and to look out for that. And this year, we're not going to have flood season. We're not going to have that water that replenishes our rivers. So it could mean some restrictions for us in the summer. So we've seen them before. So I live in Guelph, and I've seen those restrictions in Guelph, where it's just how the time of day that you water your lawn, how much water you use, washing your car. You might have to actually restrict people from doing that because we might not have as much water as usual.
Dr. Minotta explains how milder winters might impact our lifestyle and even what it means to be Canadian.
The way that individuals are impacted, apart from having those restrictions, is just, especially this past winter, is the recreational use that we have around winter and the businesses that depend on winter sports. So like in the, how we have some ski hills near Guelph, for example. And so people haven't been able to do some of their winter sports or ice fishing. It affects not just the way that you live, but what you do recreationally, which is so important to all of us. Canada is a winter country and our cities are winter cities. And we like that we get out and do things in the winter, and we're slowly not being able to do some of those activities.
The probability that insects such as the emerald ash borer or the black-legged tick will survive a mild winter is high. In fact, these insects may endanger some tree populations and increase the risk for vector-borne diseases in humans and animals. Dr. Bonata explains how milder winters may have significant repercussions on the natural environment and businesses based on our traditional expectations of the weather.
So what we might experience this summer is, for example, more mosquitoes, some more of these insects that come around or tick when we haven't had such a cold winter. We might see them earlier this year. We might experience more of it. I've been hearing from neighbors and just people around the community saying that they're seeing certain birds that shouldn't have been in their backyard in February were already appearing. And another one is the timing of plants. We might start to see some plants budding, flowers potentially starting to come out. But we don't know if there will be another sort of cold snap or snowstorm later in the month that could kill off some of those plants. And especially as we think about some of the farmers in Ontario and or the wineries in Niagara, all of that is affected by just these changes in the patterns of our climate. And the other one that is highly affected as well is just our maple syrup production, for example. That's a little bit ecosystem, but a little bit also the effect that it has on humans. Just the timing, the amount of time that trees need to create that sap is shortened by a shorter winter. And what kind of effect will that have as it cascades down the ecosystem is what we can only think about, but we don't necessarily know until we start to see the impacts later in the spring.
In light of the impacts of the changing weather patterns on humans and the environment, Dr. Bonata said it is not an issue of stopping climate change anymore, but adapting and making smart choices that prioritize mitigating further harm to the climate.
We can't stop it right now the way that it is, but we can slow it down. We can help overall emissions be reduced in many of the choices that we make in day-to-day. And one of the big choices is who we vote, for example, which companies we choose to buy from and invest in. And all that's like the larger picture of how to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But then in the meantime, in the day-to-day, we're all being affected by extreme climate. So we need to adapt our homes, get ready, or adapt our lifestyle to that. We have two extreme heat infographics at intechcenter.ca. Okay. There's so much that people can do around their home just to prepare for heat, which we call, and it's now known as, the silent killer. Extreme heat can actually lead to deaths, which is what we saw with the BC heat dome, for example. And that's just from different things like lack of ventilation, lack of learning how to use your windows and shutters. It's important that we recognize that we're headed that way where things are going to just continue to warm. And if we're looking at warmer weather in the summer, if people have the opportunity to just green their surroundings, especially in Southern Ontario, where we're not too worried about wildfire directly affecting us, people can add plants around their home in whichever way is possible. So over their gardens, or if they live in an apartment, I live in an apartment, I have some plants near my windows that can absorb some of that heat. And if you have a balcony, you can green your balcony as well. So just adding plants as much as possible is quite helpful for extreme heat, but also for absorbing water when there's like rain events, and can help people prevent their home from flooding as well. So we always suggest greening areas as much as possible.
Experts like Dr. Bonata have seen their predictions come to light in the past. And now it's important to take proactive steps to adapt to the heat in the upcoming summer and to the changing climate generally. For more information on climate adaptation and preparedness, visit the Intact Center for Climate Adaptation at intactcenterclimateadaptation.ca. Here you can explore resources on how to protect yourself and your home from climate-related risks. For CKMS News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I am MP Holmes. Thanks for listening.